So let's begin. So we began last time to discuss this very massive topic. We're not going to be able to finish it, but at least we can discuss some parts of it. Maybe the topic of Mekadesh B'Milva. This is a huge issue, a Shas topic, if you will, and a Kiddushin topic at the same time. So let's go back to the Gemara. We talked about certain aspects of it 2 weeks ago. Last week I was away. We began with this 2 weeks ago, and we'll continue Mirtz Hashem with it right now. So the Gemara says here on Vavmud Beis, just to get through the Shakla Vitaria first, Amar Abaye, HaMekadesh B'Milva Eina Mekudeshes. Abaye says that if you're Mekadesh with a Milva, which means an outstanding loan. In other words, the husband, or the would-be husband, you know, lent money. Reuven lent money, say it easier that way. Reuven lent money to Sarah. Now Reuven wants to marry Sarah, which means that in order to do so, he would have to be Mekadesher with Kesef, with a Shavapruta at least, right? So he says, instead of the Shavapruta as Kesef Kiddushin, why don't we just use the outstanding, no, you would have to pay me back $100. Let's convert that $100 debt into the Kesef Kiddushin. Very reasonable quid pro quo kind of request. Anyways, Abaye says it can be reasonable, you know, all day long, but halachically it is invalid. It doesn't work. On the other hand, if it was Bahanas Milva, if the Kiddushin, the effort to be Mekadesh, was not with the Milva itself, with the $100 outstanding debt or loan, but with the Hana of the Milva, and the Gemara will explain what that means, and then there are other suggestions of how to expand what that means. In that circumstance, it will be Mekudeshes. So Mekadesh B'Milva is not Mekudeshes, but Bahanas Milva is Mekudeshes. We'll see what the Gemara initially means in just a second. Yeah.
Something I wanted to ask last week. I believe in other parts of the Gemara. First of all, this is a Milva Bishkar or a Milva Alpe?
So in the Gemara, it's not clear at all. When the Rambam quotes it, and we'll get to the Rambam soon enough, the Rambam says, Bein Milva Balpe, Mein Milva Bishkar.
So I believe that there are other parts of the Gemara where Milva has monetary value that one can sell.
Yeah, we'll discuss that. We will discuss that. The Gemara later on in Mem Zayin Amud Beis talks about whether you can be Mekadesh B'Milva Da'acherim. What that means is, if I'm holding the title, right, or you know, as I'm holding the contract to collect a loan, to collect the debt, right? Can I use that contract? You know, can I assign that, let's say, to the Isha as Kesef Kiddushin? That's what you're asking, I think.
Well, no, I'm going one step further. If you could do that, then what
money? So we'll discuss that. No, 100%. So Tosis in on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, you can start looking at it if you want. But Tosis on Mem Zayin Amud Beis, Dibur Maskil, La'olam Shtar Chov Da'acherim. You see that in the middle of the page? On Mem Zayin Amud Beis, 47b. You have it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's a tosis there. I hope to get to it today. If not, we'll get to it hopefully next week. La'olam shtarchov da'acherim. The Gemara says that you can be Mekadesh and Isha with the shtarchov da'acherim. Not with the shtarchov, not with the loan between you and her, but with a loan that you can collect from someone else. So the Gemara says, shtarchov da'acherim is subject to Kiddushin. If you look just for 1 second, I'll just read that. So Tosfos says, Aval shtarchov dida, eina mekudeshes. That basically they're asking your question. Tosfos says, Vim tomar, maishna, ho'idi v'idi malvahi, milvahi. Basically, Tosfos doesn't ask as a kol shekein, but he asks it as an equivalent. Tosfos says, I don't get it. What's the difference? Right? So there are different answers given to this question. If you want to know, the Ran's answer to this question is, and we'll get back to it, is that what the Gemara means is that when you're Mekadesh with Shtar Chov Da'acherim, it's a form of Mekadesh Bahanas Milva. We'll explain that when we get to it. But Tosfos doesn't give that answer. Tosfos gives a much more intriguing answer. Tosfos says, V'yesh Lomar, Devadai Milva Dida, Shekna'aso Kvar, Ve'ena Nosen Loshum Davar Chadash, Shari osa mos hayu shalak kodem akidushin din hu deinim mekudeshes. Aval kishenasan la hamilva da'acherim nosan la davar chadash shlohaya biyada kodem, right? And therefore, amar de mekudeshes, then ahid eina milva be'en, mikamakum schusulo, kilo haya be'en. Tosa says what you didn't want to say, but which makes a lot of sense. Meaning, it's a little counterintuitive at first glance, but it's a very reasonable argument, which is that the, and we'll discuss it more, that the kiddushin between them is complex. I mean, it's bound up with the fact that, you know, there's no be'en, really, it's a milva, with the, you know, with all the mutual, we'll call it chovas hagavras, you know, he lent it without ribbis, the other person has to pay back, you know, it might just be in the category of priest, we'll discuss it more, priest bachov mitzvah, meaning it's because it's between them, and yet it's not, doesn't have the status of concrete money. So in some respects, it's more amorphous, we'll call it. You know, it's more lohotza nitna than it would be otherwise. Whereas if I transfer, right, the means to collect, you know, to her, she has no other relationship with the loan. It's not bound up with having received and, you know, being obligated to repay and being initially an act, I'll say it my way, an act of tzedakah. No, it's just a pure financial instrument, right? Meaning it's a distressed asset. So that she looks at it that way, and it's not bound, there's no lahotza in it, no? Right? So from that point of view, it's a davar chadash. He is giving her something. He's giving her the collectability of this asset, right? So that's a Tosa set. That's the answer to your... So these are two deos. That Ran is his answer, and that's Tosa set. But we'll get to it. Okay. Anyways, back to the Gemara development base for a moment. Am Rabbayim, Mekadish Milveinu Mekudeshes, Ba'anoas Milveinu Mekudeshes, Ba'asur Lasas Chayim B'pnei Aromas Ribis. Even then, there are issues, because it looks like a form of Ribis, in that he walks away with a Kiddushin, from this loan, right? So it looks a little bit like Agar Natar, even though it didn't necessarily 100%. We'll discuss it. So then the Gemara says, Hai Hanoas Milva Hechadami. What do we mean when we say Hanoas Milva, that is a proper form of Kiddushin? So the Gemara says, Ilema da Askifa, the Amar La Arba Bechamisha. If we're talking about a situation where he's Mekadisher in the following way, he lends a four. Right, and the condition is that there should be a repayment of five. That's called agar natar. Agar natar means, right, schar for the delay, for the right to keep the money and use the money. That's ribbis, basically. The askifa, the amar la arba v'chamisha, is ribbis ketsutza. It's ribbis doraisa. So the Gemara says ha ribbis mal yasahu. That's not haramas ribbis. That's real ribbis, right? And if he wants to mekadesh with the fifth. I mean, with the ribbis ketsutza, he wants to be mekadesh. That's what the Gemara thought. And the Gemara thought, that isn't being mekadesh for milva, because the real milva is the four. It's b'hanoas milva, his benefit, right, that fifth. So the Gemara says, that's not haramas ribbis, that's ribbis malyasa. Now, we showed 2 weeks ago, last year, was that there's a major, major debate how to read this line in the Gemara. What Rashi says is that when the Gemara says haribbis malyasa, it's a linguistic point that the Gemara is making, meaning the Gemara called it haramas ribbis, so this can't be the case, because this isn't haramas ribbis, a trickery, right? It's real ribbis. But what's the point that Rashi is making? So the Ritva says, but don't think that when the Gemara asked the question, what they meant was that you can't be, that if you were Mekadesh, be ribbis ketsutza, that it would not be Mekudeshes. That's not true. It would be Mekudeshes. The Gemara's question is, but you're not describing what we were talking about, because linguistically, that's not the right way to say it. However, the Rimigash, the Bala Itur, there's a group, the Talmud Arajba, there's a group of Rishonim saying, no, what the Gemara meant when it said Haribis Malyasahu wasn't why are you calling it Haramas Ribis, it really is Ribis Ketuta. It's, this is Ribis Ketuta. The Kedushin is not Chal. In other words, there seems to be a major, major debate among the Rishonim whether Mekadesh beribis ketsutza is Mekudeshes, in other words, whether ribis ketsutza is treated as a kind of gezel or not. And that's a major topic in Hilchos Ribis. Because on the one hand, as we all understand, you know, you're not allowed to charge ribbis. And not only you're not allowed to charge it, but the lova is not allowed to pay it. He's not allowed to agree to pay it. And the malb is not allowed to accept it. And the orev is not allowed to guarantee it. And the sofer and the edim. And everybody gets violations. You know, ribbis is a very serious transgression. At the same time, what's that?
And you have to give it back.
And you have to give it back. It's yotzei, we paskin that it's yotzei b'dayanim. Machlokas in the Gemara, but we paskin it's yotzei b'dayanim. So it gets confiscated. You have to give back, and it might even be confiscated, meaning there's gviya mishubadim even. But the, and shalom b'fanov, according to most Rishonim. But anyways, that's one side of it. The other side of it is that it's all voluntary. It's all consensual. The lova agreed, and then the lova pays. So, on the one hand, it's extremely illegal. On the other hand, it was done, right, willingly. It's hard to call that gezel. Moreover, it isn't really gezel in a more objective way, because otherwise, I mean, gezel, this is what Ramban says in his Perush al HaTorah, right, gezel akum is asur, and according to many Rishonim, asur min HaTorah. So, how could it be that we have a rule that you're not allowed to charge interest from one Jew to another, but you certainly are allowed to charge interest from a Jew to a non-Jew? Not only that, but the Rambam's view is that you're not allowed to abstain from charging ribbis from a non-Jew, right? Which the Raiva doesn't like and the Ramban doesn't like, but that's what the Rambam says. I have an explanation for the Rambam, but it's not for now. But the point is that the Ramban asks in his Perush al HaTorah, Ramban says, I don't get it. If Gezel Akum is Asur, then how could we say that you're allowed to charge ribbis from a non-Jew? That seems like very discriminatory. And it seems to be a violation of Gezel Akum. So this is a famous line of the Ramban, where he says the same thing about Shemitas Ksafim. He says, you're making a huge assumption, and an erroneous assumption, if you ask that question. The assumption is that ribbis is gezel, or that shmitas ksafim is a kind of a gezel. What is shmitas ksafim? Again, one Jew lends another Jew money, and the shmitah year, the end of the shmitah year, wipes out the debt, unless you write a prosbul or something like that. Right? So, but again, that halacha applies between Jews. It doesn't apply in a loan, between a Jew and a non-Jew. So again, this is the Ramban's same question. It's the same Ramban. Ramban says, I don't get it. Why are we discriminating? Right. So his answer is, this is not discrimination. This is a lifnim mishuras hadin requirement. This is an act of chesed between Jews. Right? And that's not something which we impose outside of our religious circles. It's a family idea. Right? But just normal course of business to charge, money makes money, access to capital is an asset, so why shouldn't you charge for that asset? That's norm, that's not gezel. So then the question is, and this is what's so fascinating about these halachos, so like, which is it? There are indications about ribbis from numerous sources, right, in the psukim, in the gemaras, that on the one hand that it might be a kind of a gezel, but the gemara in Bava Metzia, in the beginning of Ezu Neshef, even says, what do you need three different lavim in the Torah for? Right? Gezel, Ona'a, Ribbis. They're all the same. They're all Gezel, pretty much. That's a very sharp... So what is the Maskana, we do need all three. Maybe that's the answer. But there are numerous other places the Gemara speaks up. Psul Eidus, a person who charges Ribbis. Gemara calls it Gezel. I mean, there are sources that imply that Ribbis is Gezel. There are sources that imply that Ribbis is Tzedakah. If you look in Torah Shebichsav, every one of the parshios that deal with ribbis deal with tzedakah. And it is a kind of a tzedakah. So the question is, in this obligatory tzedakah, or this iser, to practice what otherwise is common and routine entrepreneurial etiquette, we'll call it, the abstaining of doing that, how do we see that? So you can still say, well, the Torah is just unbelievably, sensitive, and empathetic, and it obligates and prohibits, even in the area of tzedakah. That's one way to look at it, right? Or is it that, given these obligations, that's the background. But once you have that background, then to go ahead and to ignore it, you know, is to violate, you know, the rights of the other fellow, and that turns into a gezel. That's also very remarkable. Each one is remarkable, frankly. Or is it something in between? So I don't want to go into that whole topic now, but the ritva here, I'll just take that one line again. The Ritva in Kiddushin says, look what I wrote above the Siyah. And above the Siyah says, look what I wrote in Kiddushin. You have to put them together. But the Ritva is maybe is one of the strongest formulations that it's not gezel at all. The Bali Tosas, the Rajba, think that it is a kind of a gezel. And then the Rambam and Ramban are complex. They have different things they say. But I'll just show you the Ritva very quickly. Look at the Ritva on page, what is it?
Two?
Yeah. Line 7. So, B'hadas milvim b'kudeshes, v'asu l'asas chen b'pnei romas ridis. So, the Ritva says, V'am rinan, hainas milva echadami, ilay medamalei arba b'chamisha, b'kidsha, b'zuz chamisha shal ribis. The Kiddush is with the fifth zuz. Shi chayavislo, ribis mal yasahi. That's the language of the Gemara. So, the Ritva says, quoting Rashi, Pirish, lishna bi'alma kakashile. The Gemara's question was only a linguistic question. Hey, chikari haramas ribis. Why are you calling it haramas ribis? This is real ribis. Avavadai afilu beribis gemura. Even if we're talking about ribis gemura, right? The question is not that the kiddushin should not be chal. Im kvar pirato lo, the chazar the kidshabo mikudeshes. In other words, if he receives the dmei ribis and then he wants to be mekadesh with the dmei ribis, the Kiddushin says the Ritva will be chal. That's the debate in the Rishon. But why? Listen to his explanation. The most the ribis shepira'am lova l'malva, when the lova hands over the money to the malva, even everybody's violating Yisurin. Right? But nonetheless, says the Ritva, koninu legamri. He completely acquires the money, meaning the malva. It completely is his. He's obligated to give it back and will even take it away from him. But that doesn't mean the money that he receives isn't really his. Umamon gamur heim lo. Again, this is a very clear and extreme, you know, view in one direction. Right. Elishiesh alav chova lahakziro. Ubezdin motziin mimet. Bezdin will even confiscate it because we paskin that it's yotzei v'dayanin. But that doesn't mean they're not taking it away from him because it's gezel biyado. They're taking it away from him because he shouldn't have received it. And we don't want him to benefit in this way. And therefore, as a chova sagavra, we're forcing him to give it back. And what's his biggest proof? This is a classic, you know, situation. Because the Gemara says a remarkable thing in a couple of places, in Bava Kama, Kufi Beis, in Bava Metzia, Samachala. The Gemara has this line where it says that in Meis, Ein Banav Chayim Lahaksir, Ala Dover Mesuyam, Ipnei Kvod Aviyam. That if the malva is alive and he receives the dmei ribis, then he has to give it back. But if he dies, then the yarshim don't have to give back the money, the ill-gotten ribis money, we'll call it, right? Unless it's a davar mesuyam, if it's something that's identifiable, because then it's like a chil Hashem. You know, it's not the chvod aviyam that they should retain it. Meaning that in principle, it's not yotzei. Right, the whatever is subject to Yerusha is not Yotzei B'dayanim. So that's a very strange halacha, because it was a real chil, like gezel, right? Unless you say Rishus Yorish Ki Rishus Lokeach, that it's Yush and Shinu Rishus, and say something like that, I mean, gezel is gezel. I mean, you can't. The owner retains, unless it were full Kinyani Gezela, but if only the typical partial, the owner retains rights, and it doesn't matter, you know, that it's sitting in the possession of the Gazlan, nor does it matter if it's sitting in the possession of the Yorish. Unless you hold that there's Yirsh and Shinu Rishos, that's something else. So why is it when it comes to Ribis that we allow the Yorshim to keep it if we would confiscate it from the father? So the Ritva zeroes in on that. He thinks that's the most important point. That's what really proves that it's not Gazlan. Others say the opposite. It's really gezel. That's why he has to give it back. How can the Yarshim keep it? That's a gzeres hakasa. That's the exception. Which is the exception? Which is the rule? So that's what the Ritva adds. V'lo od el dafila b'chazara lo mitakin lave. There's no tikkun alav when he gives it back. It's not like the heishav is like zela. But you know what's so interesting? The Ramban in the mitzvah saseh shehishmit, he says the Rambam left out certain mitzvah saseh, and he wants to correct that. So one of the essen that the Ramban thinks was omitted improperly is hashavas ribis. So when the Ritva says here, by the way, when he gives it back, it's not metakein lave. It's almost like a direct refutation to the Ramban. Now the Rambam doesn't count it either, but the Megillas Esther on the Rambam says, "Oh, he doesn't count it because he thinks it's included in the Heshev Sagzela Shogazel. It's real Gazel." I don't think that's really the case in the Rambam. I think that is a very radical suggestion too. But either way, anyway, so he says, "Kidim mitakin lav the Gazel b'hishav." It's not mitakin lav in the same way that Gazel is nitkan b'hishav. Kedafrishus bezu neshach, pirush meruvach. Basically, says, "Look what I wrote in." In Bab Metzia, very expansively, you'll see there what I mean. So what he says there, which is reinforced by what he says here, is this idea that even though you have to return it, even though it can be confiscated, you should know it's not gazel, it's a chavos hagavra, it's a chiyuv haTorah, just like there's a mitzvah, to take a lulav, or to build a sukkah, and the chachamim can impose financial, compulsory, pressure to do that, right? So too, there's financial elements or dimensions to the Iser and the Chiyuvim of Ribbis. But it's not Gazel. And other Rishonim disagree. They think that once you have this prohibition or this obligation, that we treat it like Gazel. It's like ill-gotten gains, even though it's all done consensually. Yeah.
But still an
Isser,
whether you call it
Gagel
or not, right?
Yes,
I'll work here. Right, but the question is whether the money is Gazel, or whether there's an Isser God. You violated the Isser Ribbis, but the money isn't tainted. Can you use the money for Kesef Kiddush? You can't be Mekadosh B'Gazel. Right? Mm-hmm. But the question is, can you be Mekadosh B'Dmei Ribbis? You violate an Isser, but it doesn't mean the money is tainted. The money belongs to the Ritva, says the money belongs to you.
What do the others do with the fact that it doesn't pay? Your age doesn't have
to. So they say that's Xeris HaKasuv, or maybe that depends on the Sugya of Pshus Yoris Krushus Alkeach, which is one line of the Gemara in Bava Kama on Kufyat Beis Hamad Aleph itself. This is what they have to struggle with. Absolutely true. Yeah.
But then you Makadish with money that's not really his.
Yes.
That's the question.
With money that's really hers. That's worse than being
she's given it.
Why is it hers?
Because she's entitled to get it back.
Right, but not.
She has a right to get it back without regard to.
No, but this is what we're discussing.
Right, so.
Does she get it back because it's really her money and he had no right to accept it because it's like Gezel money? Then the Kiddusha wouldn't be Chal. That's the view of some of the Rishonim. Or she has a right to get the money back because he has a personal obligation not to profit from this kind of situation, and therefore he's obligated to give her back the equivalent. But the actual money was given is that's regular kesef, right? Just like let's say I'm obligated to give you something.
You're giving her the money that's tainted with business.
It's not tainted because it's an Isser Gavra, but not an Isser, and the money is not nothing. If you assume it's not a form of Gazel. Anyways, so that's the whole discussion of the Gemara. Anyways, the Gemara, let's get back to Vav Med Beis. So the Gemara says, what is Hanas Ribbis, if it's not that? So the Gemara says, the Od Hainu Milva, that's also, right? So the Gemara says, L'tzricha da Arvach Lozimno. The answer is Arvach Lozimno. Okay. For the moment, Uzzas Reed Rashi, L'tzricha da Arvach Lozimno, halva also, meaning he extends the time of the halva. And he says to her, "V'amar la iskachuli b'hanazu sha'at hayis notenes pruta ba'adam shi faiseni alkach o li." In other words, she borrowed money from him, as we know, that's the case, right? And now the question is about extending the loan. So is it worth a pruta for her to get someone to intervene with him, or to just directly offer him an extra pruta for an extension of the loan?
Sure.
So if they agree, you know, if he says, you know what, I'm going to be Mekadesh you with the extension of the loan, not with the loan itself. Right? So the Gemara, so that's how Rashi understands, that's Hanas Milva. Why isn't that Ribbis Katsutsa? Because all sorts of reasons, as Rashi explains. In Pirish Lakach Mekudeshis, Haramas Ribbisi, the Havah, Velo Ribbis Gamur, Delo Kotzla, Velo Midi Shakal Mino. There's no specific amount. He's not really taking anything. Others explain, there's a whole group of Rishonim who think that Ribbis Katsutsa Daraisa only applies at the time of the extension of the loan. Right? Any later negotiation to, let's say, extend the period of the loan, that's not Ribbis Daraisa anymore. Okay? The Kolshkin, and then the most important thing Rashi says is, like, what do you need such an exotic case? Right? So Rashi says, the Kolshkin, in Machal Kolamilva Vyamar, the Skad Shali, Bahanos Mechilazu. Let's say he just says to her, I'm not going to be Mekadesh with the money, with the $100 debt that you owe me. I want to be Mekadesh with the peace of mind or the enjoyment that you get that, you know, that you don't have to pay me back at all. Not with that as money. Don't translate the debt into money, right? Translate the pleasure of being debt-free into pleasure, which is the equivalent of money. Right? So that's what Rashi says. Yeah, that would work. The problem is, when he wants to mekadesh her with the $100 that she owes him, you know, that's a problem. Lav midi yaivla. That he's not actually giving her tangibly anything. Shekfar heim b'shusa, v'heim shala. Okay. That is Rashi. There's another Gemara, and that's the Gemara later on in Mem Zayin Bet Aleph. Let's look at it for a minute. And then we'll get back to the bigger issues here. The Gemara says on Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, seemingly the same Gemara, and the question is whether it's so or not. Mem Zayin Amid Aleph. We also have it in the sheets, by the way. I have the other Gemara there too, but it's always nicer to follow in the, you know, the probably on page one, right? Yeah. So Amar Rav Hamekadesh B'Milva. It's at the wide lines on Mem Zayin Amid Aleph, or you can look at it in the sheet. Amar Rav Mekadesh Milva Eina Mekudeshes, because Milva Lahotzon Didna. Here it's not a Baya, it's Rav. Okay, a different person. But, and he is telling us also that Mekadesh Milva Eina Mekudeshes. You can't be Mekadesh with the Milva. Here you have an extra explanation, even a Rashi, we'll see it soon, also quotes this explanation on Bamed Beis, based on the Gemara, which is that Milva is Lahotzon Nitna, because Milva was given to be spent. The simple pshat of what that means is that even if the money is still intact and has not yet been circulated, right? Nonetheless, it doesn't make a difference because when it was given, right, you don't owe that those greenbacks or those coins or whatever the proper, you know, designation is. You owe the value. You owe the return of the value. So even if the money is sitting in your pocket and you never took it out, whether it's a month later or a minute later, it matters not. What's important is that you received a loan. You have every right to spend the cash. The cash, right, is beside the point. You owe the value. Oh. So the Gemara says, Neima Katanai. But here the Gemara, instead of just being content with the conclusion and a little of an explanation, Gemara, you know, delves a little deeper. The Gemara says, Neima Katanai. Maybe this comment, right, needs to be understood as part of a machlokes atanoi. Hamekadesh b'milveinu mekudeshes, the yeshomer mekudeshes. Some people think that it does work. Okay, dissenting view. My love, hakamiflegi, isn't it that the argument is about the following? The marsavar milva lo tzadit, the marsavar milva lav lo tzadit. Meaning, this seems to be argument whether you can be Mekadesh Milva depends on how you look at a Milva. Do you look at Milva as, again, something which is already spent, it's a value, it's something more abstract, or at least till the point, maybe even beyond, maybe in general we look at a Milva more concretely, something that is not Lotza Nitna, certainly until you're Motzi it anyway. So the Gemara says, "V'tizbra ima seifa." Right? It's hard to say this, that there's this that the argument revolves around this, because listen to the seifa. The seifa says, "V'shavim b'mecher," and everybody agrees in the case of a mecher. In other words, let's say we're not talking about a kiddusha. Let's say we're talking about a transaction. Somebody wants to acquire some monetary property, right, with a milva. I want to acquire Shimon's watch, right, with the outstanding debt that Shimon owes me previously, right, or his karka, his real estate, right? So the Gemara says, v'shavim b'mecher, shezekana, in whatever this case is talking about, it'll work in mecher. So the Gemara says, yamras milva lahotzah nitna, right? B'mai kani, right? If milva is lahotzah nitna, then on what basis will it work? The Gemara says, amar Rav Nachman, chavrin mukim la b'milu ochri, the Gemara has a whole different explanation of what's going on there. Fine. What's important, the takeaway for us, is that the Gemara on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph assumes, as a Davar Pashut, that whatever is true for Mekadesh B'Milva is equally true for Mocher B'Milva. In other words, what's true in Hilchos Kiddushin, if Kiddushin is not subject to milva, then either is mecher. That's the shavim b'mecher. The Gemara says, if mecher works, it can't be a case of real milva, because if it was a case of real milva, right, then it shouldn't work in mecher the same way it doesn't work in kiddushin. Okay, good. Now, why? That's the background. Now we get to the exciting part. Okay. So, a lot of achronim were bothered, number one, why there are two Gemaras. Okay. How come in the second Gemara we have the explanation of milva lahotzah nitna? We don't have it in the first. In the second Gemara we have a machlokes. Here we don't. In the second Gemara there's a reference to the parallel of mecher. Here we don't. Okay, three things to think about. All right, they're not enormous things to think about. They're subtle things to think about. Ah, but it gets much more serious once the anomalies, right, increase. So now look at Rashi for a minute. Rashi says on Vomit Base, Eina Mekudeshes, Rashi's explaining why. Rashi says, Dekicha miste Ephron Gamrinan. Everybody have it? Vomit Base? Eina Mekudeshes? Dekicha miste Ephron Gamrinan. Deyoiv midi b'shas kidushin. Umil v'lautza nitna. Ukvar hin shalah. Umo sacheri mi b'chicha yeveslo. Rashi is trying to explain what the problem of milva is in kidushin, and he explains that the problem is that kicha kicha miste Ephron. And therefore you need a nesina, a concrete nesina, and you don't have that in a milva, because everything is just, the balance of payments between them, right? I'll accept the debt in lieu of the, but there's no, actual concrete nesina going on here. Rashi ties that with the fact that kicha kicha miste Ephron. So the way some of the achronim or mefarshim ask the question is, and if we had learned out kiddusha kesef from v'yatzachina main kosef and not from kicha kicha, we would say the mekadesh b'milva would be fine. It doesn't work in mecher either, does it? Or put it this way: is the problem of kiddusha milva a kiddushin problem, or is it a broader milva b'kinyanim problem? If it's a milva b'kinyanim problem, then who cares where we learn it from, and why do you need midi diyahi if you don't need that in dinei mamonis? And the Gemara says on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, v'shavim b'mecher. So what's going on here? Why is Rashi so specific? It's not just Rashi, it's also the Rambam. So if you look at the Rambam in Perikei, Ishus Halacha Yud Aleph, the Rambam says as follows. I'm guessing this is going to be on page 3, yeah? That makes sense? Yud Gimel, sorry. Yeah. Number 12. Hamakadosh b'milva, afilo hoysa b'shtar. You asked me that, right? Did you ask me if there was b'shtar or not?
Yeah.
Before?
Yes.
Yes. A whole room of people heard you ask that question. And then you said to me, but if it's a Milvah Bishtar, why can't he use it like a commodity? No, you say you asked me, is it Milvah Bishtar or Milvah?
Yeah, yeah.
So I think I said then, the Rambam says explicitly it's even Milvah Bishtar. And then I referred you to Mem Zayin Bet. This is the Rambam I'm referring to. Right? Hamakadosh B'milvah Afilo Hoysa Bishtar. Because it doesn't say that in our Gemara. Not here, and not in Mem Zayin Amunah. But he was interested in the same thing that you're interested in. That's why he added the words, right? Afilo Hoysa Bishtar. Anyway, Eina Mekudesh. It's Ketza. Kegon Shayla Etzlecho Dinar. V'omer La'ariyah Mekudesh Asliba Dinar Sheish Li B'yadeich. Right? Eina Mekudesh. He wants a Mekadosh with a debt. Doesn't work. Why? Mipnei Shemilva Lohotza Nitna. Okay, that's the reasoning of Mem Zayin and Aleph. Rashi also brings it in here. Fine. Then he adds, Ve'en kan davar kayam. There's nothing concrete, lihanospo, me'ata, shekvar hotzi oso dinar, v'avra hanasa. Once again, like Rashi, the Rambam gives a very local kiddushin explanation for why Mekadosh B'Milva doesn't work with kiddushin. Which is fine and good, as far as it goes. And again, this explanation is similar and consistent with the Rambam's view of Matana Menasa Hatzir, which we talked about earlier in the year when we talked about Chalit Pin, that you need Kesef Shel Hanan, which is all fine and good in Hilchos Ishus. But what about other Kinyanim? Doesn't the Gemara Mem Zayin Amud Aleph say V'Shavim B'Mecher? There you don't have this din of Kesef Shel Hanan. So why is the Rambam localizing this halach? But in the case of the Rambam, it's much more... It's easier and more difficult at the same time. Easier because if you look more carefully, it seems like he really does distinguish between kinyanim and dine mamonis and kiddush. So yeah, he's giving it a very, very topical, you know, and you know, specific ishus explanation because it doesn't really apply in dine mamonis. That makes it easier. But it also makes it more difficult because the Gemara says explicitly on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, B'Shav and B'Mecher, that what's good for one is good for the other. What's not good for one is not good for the other. So it's more internally consistent in the works of the Rambam, and it's more challenging because we now know, I mean, I have to prove this, it'll take 1 second, that the Rambam seems to be rejecting an explicit line of the Gemara in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. How does he do that? Oh, which line is that? So look here at Perek. I'm going to continue with the Rambam later, but Hilchos Mechira Perek Hei Halacha Dalet, which is on page 4. The first one on page 4, and then we're going to look at Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet. Perek Hei Halacha Dalet says V'chein Ruvein Shemachar Metaltel and Shimon B'Chamishim says. You know what? I should really read this Gemara first. Ah, okay. Hold off on the Rambam for 1 second, because I want to show you that the Rambam got this from the Gemara. Which Gemara? Another Gemara in Kiddushin, a third Gemara in Kiddushin. Just turn for a moment. I have this here also on the page, by the way. But on Chaf Ches. Look at Chaf Ches for a minute. Omid Beis. Very interesting Gemara. Just follow with me, and it'll be fine. Just a little complicated. The Gemara says as follows. Gemara is trying to figure out a certain line in the Gemara. It says Kol ha nishom damim ba'acher. Here, let's go back for 1 second to the Mishnah on Chaf Ches Amud Aleph. The Mishnah says, "Kala nasa damin ba'acher kivin shezachar zen eschayv zeh b'chalipav." Right. So, very difficult Mishnah to read. "Kala nasa damin ba'acher kivin shezachar zen eschayv zeh b'chalipav." It's the case of chalipin. Ketzad hichlif shor b'para. People agree to exchange or to barter a shor for a para or chamor b'shor. Kivin shezachar zeh. Once you do a meshicha in one. So the Gemara says, Chalipin mayniu matbeya, shmamina matbiyanasa chalipin. The Gemara says, Amrav Yudah hachi kamar. No. Even though it says, kolanasa damim, it should really read, kolanishom damim ba'acher. Okay, what does that mean? Oh, so now turn to Chav Chesom Beis, and listen to the following interesting thing. Yeah. The Gemara says, Ketzad. Hichlif. I'm skipping 1 second. Okay, come on. Yesh damim shehen kechalipin. Hichlib dmei shor b'para, o dmei chamar b'shor. What is that? Look at Rashi. Hachi kamar, yesh damim shen kechalipin, right? Ketzad, next one. Hichlib dmei shor b'para. Everybody with me? Listen to this slowly. Machar lo shor b'mana. Person wants to acquire, Reuven wants to acquire Shimon's ox for $100. Right? Umashcha. They agreed. He did a meshicha on the ox. Right? The ox now belongs to Shimon. To Reuven, sorry. Reuven bought Shimon's ox, correct? For $100. He did a meshicha. He owns the ox. V'nischayev lo zemana. He now owes $100. He's $100 in debt as a result of this mecher, to Shimon. He owes Shimon. Reuven acquired Shimon's ox. Reuven now owes Shimon $100. And he's supposed to give it to him. But so what happens is then, secondarily, Amar lo hamocher, yesh lecha para, liten bedamim. The mocher, Shimon, says to Reuven, you know what, instead of giving me $100, you have a great cow, you know, that I need, so let's, you know, I'll acquire the para for the $100 debt that you owe me. Amalohain, right? Yeah. So that is what we're talking about. Shomalo b'mana, right over pras, Shomalo, mochar shor, Hare mos shatachayv li nesunim l'cha b'dameha, mos halalu konim b'lo meshicha, right? Kechalip in the kelim. So the Gemara says, my taima, how can this work? Normally we have a rule that says, there's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Resh Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan holds Dvar Torah, ma'os konos. Meaning even in metaltalin, not everybody admits that when it comes to karka, that's a mishnah on kiddushin daf chav ches, earlier, that karka is niknes v'gimel drachin. Kesef, Shtar, Chazak. Everybody agrees that Kesef is a way to acquire Karka. Right? That's why you have Kicha, Kicha, Mestafa. Metaltalin is a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Rabbi Yochanan says Dvar Torah Mos Konos, and Rish Lakish says, no, Dvar Torah only Meshicha. But even Rabbi Yochanan, who says Dvar Torah Mos Konos, says that Midrabanan Mos is not enough. Why? Shema Yisrafu Chitecha Baalia. What does that mean? Let's say I give you $100 to acquire the produce in your home. Right? So I give you the $100. You now have the $100, and now I own the produce. And let's say a fire breaks out. I'm not there, the produce is not yet in my rishus. Right? So Shimon, right, who owns the property housing the produce, but he sold it, has no incentive, right, to salvage that produce, because he already got paid for it. It's not his anymore. That's what Shema Yisrafu Chitecha Baalia means, meaning the stuff, the chitim will be in the, in the attic, you know, and there's no incentive if you hold Dvar Torah, Mos Konos, and the transaction took place, or what do I care, so... He might care about his attic, but he doesn't care about the chitim in the attic because they're not his anymore. So midrabanan, they said you should have meshicha. Why am I telling you this? So now look back at the Gemara. The Gemara says ketzad. What is called nisham damim b'acher hachikama? Yesh damim shehin kechalipin. Sometimes money can work like chalipin, meaning you could acquire just like you can acquire by exchanging two things. You can also use money, right, to acquire an object, metaltalin. Ketzad, hichliv dmei par, veshor bepara, o dmei chamor beshor, exactly what we just read in Rashi, which is, right, he originally wanted to acquire, he made a kinyan, right, to acquire an object, and the other fellow now owes him money, normally he just have to pay him the money, and that's the end of the story. Instead, he wants to use the debt and convert that into some other transaction. So normally that would be mos konos, and it wouldn't work midrabanan. But since it's such an unusual case, it isn't a direct kinyan, it's with this, you know, second level. So therefore, we allow it like chalipin, maitaima, sovela k'rav yochanan damar dvar tormos konos, what we just said. Umatam omer meshicha konek zeir shami yomer lo nisrfu chitecha ba'aliyah. The only reason we hold back on kinyan daraisa, mos konos, is because we're worried that the guy won't have an incentive because the object, you know, has changed hands, but it hasn't changed physical reshuyos yet. But milsa d'shchiyach goes rabbanon, milsa d'lo shchiyach lo goes rabbanon. That's the Gemara. Well, it doesn't seem like from that Gemara that you can be mocher or you could be kone in dini mamonis ayidei milva. Right? So now look back at the Rambam in Perakei Halacha Dalet. Is everybody with me so far? You'll see this will get clearer in just a minute. So the Rambam read the Gemara exactly how Rashi read it. The chain. Ruvain shemachar metaltalin l'shimon b'chamishim zuz. Ruvain sold his watch to Shimon for $50. Okay? The kana Shimon a metaltalin. Right? Shimon picked up the watch. It's on the top of the page, on page 4. V'nischaya b'damim. And now he owes $50. V'achar shenischaya Shimon b'chamishim zuz. Before he actually paid off the debt that he owes for transaction number one, right? For the Chishim Zuzelu, sorry. Hayelo Yayin, or Behema, or Eved, or Kiyotzuv, or Mishar Metaltalin, Vayrotzalam Achron. So there's some other commodity there. And, you know, one of them gets the bright idea, you know, instead of paying back the cash, why don't we call it a swap? And we'll take, instead of the cash, we'll do the second transaction. The Omer le Reuven mechor oso li b'chamishim zuz sheyesh li biyadecha tmei amecher. Omer lo hen, he says, great idea. Kana Reuven ametaltalin b'chom bakom shehi. B'af al pi shelam mashach b'lo igbia. Even though this is only ma'os konos, and usually midrabanan ma'os konos doesn't work, even if you paskin like Rabbi Yochanan d'oraisa. Shegam zeh davar sheinu matzuyu. Here it's not a problem because it's a very it's unusual kind of transaction. V'lo yitzricha bo meshicha. If he stam had an outstanding debt, right? If it was more of a usual circumstance, it wouldn't work. Midaraisa or drabanan, pashas only drabanan, because it's a davar rangel. So the Raivin says. Number one, I don't think this should work as a kinyan, or maybe only Misha Para, promise. But what are we already seeing? That according to the Rambam, according to this Gemara, Pashtus, unless you interpret it some other way, which I'll tell you in a minute, it sounds like a milva can work in the context of mecher, right? And that the Rambam paskens this way. Now look at Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet, it's even more explicit. Mishay lechovei tzach haveiro, v'omer lemechor li chavis shoyayin b'chov sheyesh li etzachov. There's an outstanding debt. They want to say, use the outstanding debt as kesef to acquire b'taltalin. V'ratzom ocher, they're all in agreement. Harei zeh kimishanasan hadamim ato. Ooh, even more explicit. It's as if he handed him over cash. He didn't hand him over cash. He neutralized the milva. The kol achozer bo, the kabel mishapara is, since we say that midrabanan, you're not allowed to do most konos, but nonetheless it's a mishapara. You're not allowed to back out of the deal because it's a commitment. Lefikach, lefikach is the best. Im machalo karka b'chovo, let's say this wasn't about metaltalin where you have this limitation. Let's say it's about karka. Karka is nikneh b'kesef, d'oraisa and rabbanan, l'kula hola, right? So lefikach, in machalo karka b'chovo, let's say you wanted, again, Reuven owes Shimon $1,000, right? And Reuven has a piece of karka that Shimon wants. So they say, you know what? Instead of you writing me a check or giving me back the money and then we're doing the second transaction, why don't we just decide to turn the outstanding debt into the kesef, kinyan for the karka? Ein echon mehem yachol atzar, v'alfa pish ein mos hanilvim b'tzuyos b'shas ha-mechar. Even though it's all its own itna, basically. Says the Ravid, Om Rav Ramle Adati ze lama, I don't understand this, shahare hushvu ha-gaonim kulam, milva lo tzon, everybody, all the gaonim think that milva's lo tzon itna, that's how we paskin. V'edakin asinas mos klal, and exchanging or neutralizing a milva is not like giving over money. The shavim b'mecher. He's quoting the Gemara Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, which says what's good for kiddushin is good for mechira. What's not good for kiddushin is not good for mechira. Shezek kona the milva lo tzon. Says the Gemara b'mecher my kona. And then he says v'ulai hitzao hodar mina mamidim milva la peros v'ushiyesho v'hilav l'din kniya elisa ribbit. Says maybe the Rambam was misled by Gemara in Bamatzia. Most people think that, if anything, the Rambam was misled, or say it the other way, the Rambam was inspired by the Gemara in about Kol Nishim Dam and Ba'acher, the one that he quotes in Perikei Halacha Daleh. So the point is, the Ravid is already calling him out on it, as are all the Nosa Kalim, which is, even though the Gemara says v'shavim b'mecher, that milva, if it doesn't work in Kiddushin, should also not work in mecher, the Rambam is paskening in Hilchos Ishus that it doesn't work in Kiddushin, but he's paskening twice in Hilchos Mecher, Perkei and Perik Zayin, that it does work in principle, and in some cases, in fact, in Mecher. What does he do with the Gemara? Oh. So, on the other hand, it works well, as I said before, with the fact, why did the Rambam give such a local, specific explanation that the Kaddish B'mil Beinu Mekudeshes is connected to the fact that Kiddushin requires Kesef Shalana? Well, I mean, that sounds like it's much too parochial. That's about Kiddushin, but that's not about Mecher. The answer is the Rambam is very consistent. He doesn't think that a Mecher Milva doesn't work. He thinks it works. The only problem is, what does he do with the Gemara? Ah. Okay. So there's some Achronim, you know, following the lead of the Ravid, but with a different Gemara, who say, there's some, the approach of some is simply to say that there's a Machlokas HaSimplis. That also gives in the Shas agree on this point, and the Rambam Paskin to distinguish. Some people say what the Ravid says, this Gemara Bambitziah. Other people say, well, you know, what really motivated the Rambam was the Gemara about Kol Anishim Dam and Ba'acher, Chav Chesam Adbeis, the one we just read. So he thinks there's a machlok in the Gemara Mem Zayin and the Gemara in Chav Chesam Kiddush. Other people say that the Rambam, and maybe also Rashi, thought that there was a machlok between the Gemara and Bavel Adbeis and Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara that we, two Gemaras that we began. Why? Because one is Abaya, the other is Rav. One says nothing about Mevelot on Nitna, or any Machlokes, right? Or anything about Dine Mamanis. The other says, Mevelot on Nitna, there's a Machlokes, there's a connection to Mecher. Maybe these are two different sugyas. That's how some Rishonim explained both for Rashi and for the Rambam. Why did Rashi say, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephraim? They say, oh, because this is Abaya. This isn't Rav. Look, for example, very quickly. Page 1. Look at the beginning of the Merome Sada. Pirush Rashi, line 9. Pirush Rashi, the Bramasalei Nebukadesha. Somebody have it? The Kicha Mistei Ephron Gamrinan. This Rashi. The Yoiv Midi Vishas Kedushim Bechula. Says the Nitzit. The Eino Muvan my boy Rashi Bazen. What is Rashi speaking like this for? My nafkamina, nafkal mistei afron of yotzachinim and kasef karav. What difference does it make what the source of kiddushay kasef is? This is a more universal halacha, isn't it? Benire, the svir le Rashi, da baya lo ba lo mar shmeitz of the rav lahalon mem zayin amid aleph, hamakadish milvein amukudashas. Elisha be'emes cholek abaya al rav. They agree that Einam Mekudeshes, but for different reasons. The Shem Bevuar de la Rav, Kamoshe Einam Mekudeshes, who did Bemecher de Lokani. In the Gemara later on, it's clear that the problem is a problem of Milva universally in all transactions. Kim Bevuar Besugya Shem Demaksha, Al Hodetanim Shem Bemecher Shezakana. Yomer Bilbil Hotzanit Na B'Mecher Maikana. That's a quote. The Sfira Lel Rashi Kashita Sarifa Rambam the Mecher Konim B'Milva. And he thinks the other Rashi is too. We'll get back to the rest of the Tziv later. Meaning that a Tziv is reading that Rashi and the Rambam both think that Milva works in Mecher, and that there's really a Machlokas Hasugyas above Mud Beis against Mem Zayin Omen Aleph exactly about this point. Look at the Pnei Yoshua for a minute. Same basic idea. Line 27. Pirush Rashi. Amar Bayim HaKadosh Shemuvein HaMukadosh. Pirush Rashi. Kicha Mistei Efron Gomrinon. Afagav de Mechira Sa de Gufa Lo Yadinan. De Eina Mechira Ide Milva. Tvei Mekidushin. How do you know in Sada that it doesn't work? Kedisa Lehed Yabigamar Lekaman. Mem Zayin Omen Aleph. Well, the Shitas HaRambam Adaraba. According to the Rambam, the opposite is true. B'mecher kana, k'moshi v'ur l'kamon barichos. B'komokom pirush Rashi shapir, kivin de b'kicha, kicha u de gamrinan, mistea from the tziv kesef, u'milva la b'chal loshom kesef, kivin de l'yoy midi b'shas ma'isa. Okay. Once again, you can see he's bothered exactly. The Avnei Miluim is a huge piece, which I don't think we'll get to today, but which we'll talk about. Also based on the same diukim in Rashi, and the Rambam. Okay. If you, on the other hand, just to contrast it, look at the, obviously the Raivit didn't think these were two different Gemaras, right? The Shavu and the Mecher. And either did the Baal HaMaor. Look at the Baal HaMaor, which is in the back of the Gemara here, but I think I put it on the page. I'm pretty sure I put it on the page. Did I? Let's see, one second.
Page 4.
Line 17. Amara Gadol Masechet Kiddushin Beis Amad Beis. Amara Abaye Mekadosh Milvein Mekudeshes. Right? He's talking on Vav Amad Beis. Bechu Hadin L'chol Kinyin Shebekesef. Not just Kiddushin. Right? It's not transactable in any context. V'hachamin B'Pirkin D'le Kamon. The Shavin B'Mecher, Shizek Kano, B'Milvalotza, L'mai Kani. Al-Malo Kani Shmamina. What did the Baal HaMaor do ever so subtly? He integrated, he's bringing evidence for the Gemara on Vav Amud Beis, Sabaya, from the Gemara, Mem Zayin Amud Aleph, Rav, because he doesn't think that these are two totally different Gemaras at all. The Tosfos read on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph does the same. Anybody who asks from one Sugya to the next is implicitly assuming that whatever the small differences are, right, that is negligible. The bigger point is that it's one topic. Yeah.
There's no problem for
Bayit's argument
with Rav.
No,
he's
right.
Yeah, he's
well, I mean, you know, I mean, based on, well, according to these, I mean, according to the ones that they are arguing?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we do find that a Bayit argues with Rav. You could ask, well, how do we paskin? Here it's even more because kind of saying we pass him like a bye. But the, you know, I wouldn't lose too much sleep about those kind of questions. And because there are always other Gemaras that, oh, he's, you know, if it was just a bye and Rav, so, you know, maybe Rav has, you know, precedence. But, you know, what about all the other implicit evidence, you know, which supports, you know, a particular view? Like the Mishnah on Chav Ches and its interpretation on Chav Ches and Beis and so on. So it's a question, but it, as I say, it's not anything we haven't seen many, many other times. By that I don't mean that we're not being serious about answering. What I'm saying, it's a typical, you know, the typical conclusion would be, you know, we know of Abayin, we know of Rav, but, you know, there's a lot more going on here. This is a Shas topic, and there are numerous sources, and therefore it isn't just those two authority figures. It's, you know, how do you weigh the totality of all of the evidence? And that always changes, you know, the mix. Okay. So there are plenty who think that it's the same sugya, but if it's not the same sugya, and we do distinguish, so what is the basis for the distinction? Oh. So one explanation is what we've already said, which is that this is a particularly problematic issue in Kiddushin, Because maybe Kiddushin, it's not enough to have a regular kin in Mos or Kesef. But you need the idea of Kesef Shalana. And that's what the Rambam emphasizes, and maybe that's what Rashi is emphasizing. The Avni Miluim piece, which I'm not going to read now, but which starts Simon Chav Ches, Sivkat Tazayin, very, very, very famous discussion. This is on page 4, starting from line 20, takes that approach. He develops the idea generally that there's a lot of evidence that Kiddushe Kesef is unique. And we've talked about this throughout the year, that you need Kesef Shalhana, that's what, you know, why Chalipin doesn't work, Isha Bavakzim Shava Pruta Lomakanya Nafsha, all of those, Batana Manas Lahaksir, in the Kiddusha Griz, he extended it to Arev and Evid Knani. There's a lot of evidence that we treat Kiddushin differently. But maybe there's another idea, also along those lines, but in a different way, that could explain this as well. Earlier in the year, we talked about the difference when it comes to Kesef between Piraon and Kesef. Right? We talked about the idea that Piraon is a more pragmatic perspective on Kinyan Maos. You know, basically the balancing of the of the financial ledgers, you know, between them. That's what Piraon is. Piraon is very pragmatic. Kesef is very formal. And we talked about the debate that is very explicit, but has roots in the Rishonim, but is explicit in the Achronim, in Siman Kuf Tzadi and Chosh Mishpat, between the Sma and the Taz, and then the Amnei Miluim, and then the Sivas. Very much has to do with Kiddushin too. We talked about it a few times, we talked about Chalipin, right? What is the nature of acquiring, let's say, a piece of land with Kesef? Are you Kona always with the Pruta? Right? And the agreed upon amount, the $100, the $1,000, the $1,000,000, whatever it is, that's just the Tanai, that's just the Smichus Tas. In other words, it's the formality of Kesef. That's really what we're talking about. Or is it Piron? Meaning we made an agreement, the field has been assessed, or we agree on the price of $1,000,000. So the price on the Piron, the Kesef, the Piron, is $1,000,000. I only give a pruta. The S is Zakval of the Milva. Right? That's what we discussed in the beginning of the year.
Isn't Kicha Kicha also operating?
That's Kiddushin.
I'm sorry?
But wouldn't Kicha Kicha be also operative here, even outside the area of Kiddushin?
No, but this I think we've talked about a few times. Kicha Kicha Miste Ephron is a particular case. The Rav it highlights it even more than others, but Stei Ephron is not the source for Kinyan Kesef Bekarka. It's a particular high-profile case, right? You know, where Avraham Avinu was acquiring a legacy property, you know, for Kfuras, you know, Avos and Himos, or Dore Doros. So it is true that it's a case of real estate, but it's not a typical case of real estate. I'm talking about the typical case of real estate, for now. What the Mishnah speaks about in Chav Chesem and Aleph and Kiddushin. The Ravid makes this point, or we discussed it earlier in the year, that we learn Kiddushin Kesef not from any Kesef Karka, but from the Kesef Karka of Maris HaMachpel. Which might be a different story. That's what you're asking, right? Or am I misunderstanding you?
No, I thought that was the bedrock of all Kona Karka
Kesef. No. That's not the source. That is Vinasana Kesef Bekamlo. Okay, so no, that's an example. It's a very over La Socher. I mean, the Maris HaMachpelah was a very particular event, and that's what the Xeris HaKasav connection to Kiddushin is. Okay. Anyways, what am I getting at? So the Rav had the following suggestion, and really the Nesivos says a good part of it as well, and that is as follows. When you analyze milva, right? Should milva work for kesef or not? Right? So when you think about it, there are pros and cons. But when you really break it down, conceptually, it's very compelling to break it down according to these categories. Meaning, if you're interested in kesef, namely, a symbolic transaction, right, in which I exchange, you know, coin of the realm, something of value, or, you know, or something, you know, a shabakasa, whatever it is, you know, symbolically to acquire the value of the field. But I'm not really trying to cover the full value. I'm not, it's not an exchange of the value for the field. It's a symbolic kinyan. It's not tchilas piron, it's kesef. If you look at it that way, then milva is deficient, delinquent, because you're not giving anything in milva. It's milva lo tzon nitna. There's nothing to hand over. There's no symbolic act of, you know, of, there's no mais in the sina. However, if you take the perspective of piron, piron is basically, you know, we're balancing the, you know, the scales of obligation between us. In the end of the day, if we're talking about outstanding, you know, obligations, does it matter at all if I dig into my pocket or I dig into my checkbook and I write you a check for $1,000, or I give you cash for $1,000, or shavakesa for $1,000, or I say to you, you know what, you owe me $1,000. This field is worth $1,000, right? Let's just, you know, exchange the debt money, which you would have, you'd have to pay me $1,000, and then I'd have to give you $1,000. You know, what's the point? You owe me $1,000. This is $1,000 field. It's piron, right? So the point may be that from a piron point of view, milva is kesef. From a kesef point of view, milva is lo tzon. Ah, how does that help us at all? So what the Rav wanted to suggest was as follows. Maybe kiddushin is kesef, but mecher is piron. But he said it even better than that. And that is the following way. I mentioned before that there's a debate between Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish whether mos, konos, or not. Correct? So a lot of the achronim ask this question in Bab Metzia. The main sugya of Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish is in Bab Metzia, in Perek Hazav. So some of them ask, why, linguistically, do we use the phrase mos and not the phrase kesef? We're all familiar with the phrase kesef, kinyan kesef, right? Kark is nicknamed the kesef. And when it comes to metaltalin, the Gemara discusses whether dvar Torah ma'os konos. So it could be just something. Maybe it's something more important, right? Question number one. Question number two, the Rishonim ask, good. The makar for kinyan kesef, the karka, is well known. Not kicha kicham steachim, but nasana kesef akamlo. Right, the psukim that are quoted, right after the mission on Chav Chesam and Aleph and Kiddush. Where's Rabbi Yochanan's makar, the Dvar Torah, Mos Konos? Doesn't appear in the Gemara anywhere. So the Ramban has two dates. Ocha b'kesef yishpareini. Right, okay, but still question why it doesn't appear. Or says the Ramban in Bab Metzia, this is in Perek Hazav, it's a svara b'alma. Rabbi Yochanan thought it was a svara. So, I don't understand. Metaltalin is a svara, and karka has a gzeres hakasov. Right? So what all this may point to, and this is going back to the evidence, some of the evidence that we saw in the beginning of the year when we talked about this question of piron and kesef, some of the achronim assume that whatever you're going to say about karka, you're going to say about metaltalin, you can bring rayas from one to the other. Right? But the truth is, the evidence, the way it stacks up, is that for karka, a stronger case can be made that we're dealing with symbolic kesef. And for metaltalin, a much stronger case can be made that we're dealing with piron. So the idea is, ma'os, as opposed to kesef, the lack of exeris akasuv, even the use of svara, fits in with the model of piron. Because piron is just quid pro quo. Piron says, it's, you know, $1,000 field, so fine, I'll give you value. What's is it more value if I give you cash or I write you a check or I neutralize the $1,000 debt, right? That can be collected? It's the same thing. That's Moz, that's not Kesef. Maybe that doesn't require limud, because the whole idea behind it is that it's an exchange of value, right?
By metalton
or something. Metalton, yeah. So what the Rav pointed out, which was very ingenious, was that the Rambam, in Hilchos Mechira, when he develops the idea that milva, the mechudash idea, right? Maybe the Rif held this way earlier too, but again, it's still mechudash, because simple pshat is the Gemara says a mem zayin o ben aleph v'shavim b'mecher. Milva doesn't work in kedusha. Milva doesn't work in mecher. Right. So then you have to be of the opinion. Okay, there are different Gemaras. Some of the Gemaras imply it does work in milva. It does work in mecher, but only in mecher. Right. So it's just interesting. He pointed out that the Rambam quotes this halacha that mecher can be accomplished by milva, mostly in Perek Zayin, Hilchos Mechira. And a little bit in Perek Hei Hilchos Mechira. But not in Perek Aleph Hilchos Mechira. What's the difference? Perek Aleph Hilchos Mechira deals with karka. Perek Zayin, especially, and even a little earlier, Perek Hei, deals with metalthalin. If you notice carefully what Rambam did in Perek Zayin, Alach Adalit, if you look at it again just very quickly, this is on page 4, right, 11. And why is he's basically saying, normally, even if milva is going to work, it's going to work like kesef, like mos. And therefore, there's only going to be Mishapara, unless it's a Davar Shein Matsui, that was Perek Hei Halacha Daled. But, he says, Karka, where there's no qualm, there's no Shami Yisrachu Techa Baliyah in Karka, right? Because the Karka is always in the Rishus, it's always in its own Rishus, right? So that always works. Lefikach, that'll work straight in a Milva. So the Rav is asking, Why wait till Perek Zayin Halacha Dalet to tell you that Karka is Niknes, right, Bemilva? Why not say in Perek Aleph? What's the answer? The answer is because if Milva does work, even in Karka, it only works as a Gitaltalin type of a Kinyan, meaning a Piron Kinyan rather than a Kesef Kinyan. If you're looking at it symbolically, like the handing over, like the ceremonious, you know, symbolic handing over of a kesef, right, to symbolize this kinyan, you don't have that in milva. That's exactly the point. That's what milva lo tzonik means. But once we know that mos works doraisa in metalkalin, so maybe there are two dinim in karka. One is kesef, and the other is piron. So what we're being told is, the metalkalin idea, right, in which milva also works, is going to be applicable to karka lefikach bekarka too. So if that's the case, let's go one step further. I don't know if the Rav said this part or I'm saying this part, but till now he said this. The other part is from his for sure, and that is there are two gemaras, right? There's a gemara in Kiddushin Daf Amud Beis, and there's a gemara in Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. And there's a Gemara, there's three Gemaras actually, and a Gemara Daf Chav Ches Amud Beis. The Gemara Chav Ches Amud Beis is certainly talking about metalthalin. How do we know? Because the Gemara says that Gemara is Aliba to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Dvar Torah, Moos, Konos. That's metalthalin. The Tosus Riazokin and Mem Zayin Amud Aleph says, when the Gemara says Veshavin B'mecher, it's talking about metalthalin. So basically, but our Gemara is talking about Kiddushin. Kiddushin isn't derived, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says, Dar Torah Mos Konos, that's not the Makar for Kiddushin Kesef of Isha. What's the Makar for Kiddushin Kesef of Isha? Kicha Kicha Mistapper. It's still real estate. I'm saying it's those particular requirements are even more than regular real estate. Fine. But not less. So maybe what you could say is, when the people say, oh, the Rambam thinks that there's a machlokas hasugya. Maybe it's not even a machlokas hasugyas. Maybe what we're being told is that Abaya, right, is zeroing in on kesef. Milva's not kesef. Rav is telling us that even though Milva's not kesef, it may very well be piron. But piron doesn't work in kedushin. Only kesef works in kedushin. So that's what the Gemara says on Kaf Ches, that we're talking, that's the Gemara talking about Metaltalin. So not only is, others say, oh, the Rambam thinks it's a Machlokas HaSugyas, that he paskins this way, not that way, and these are the Chilukim, and this is the explanation. I'm saying one step further. There's not even a Machlokas HaSugyas. The Sugyas themselves are broken up between Piron and Kesef. That would be the suggestion. Another factor to throw into the mix. Oh, we're already late. I'm just going to tell you what the factor is and then we'll pursue it next time. Is whether to distinguish between different types of milvas. For example, does it make a difference whether a milva is a pure milva, a classic milva, meaning I lent you $100 and now you have to pay me back? And we want to know whether neutralizing that debt is worth a kesef kedusha. Or maybe there's a difference between that and the Gemara Chav Ches, which is a milva from a mecher, where I received already goods or services, right, in exchange for that money. It's not just two chovas agavras. Maybe that's a more concrete milva. That's another one, something to consider. Milva d'alchov d'acherim, which we mentioned earlier, also may be under that category. Schiras poalin may be in that category. And how to compare that to things like shvita safim, where milva becomes a factor. So I want to finish with that. Next one.